Well, that's a great song with a great message, and it's our theme for this devotional, The Greatest Commands. You know, I don't mean to be insulting, but one of the things that I have noticed about us sometimes is we learn songs like that, and we get all caught up in singing them, and we don't ever really take them apart and notice exactly what they say. Some of us older guys took a lot longer than you younger folks to learn that song, and some of us get lost in it even yet. But let's break it down for just a second here as we're getting started, and let's notice what it really says and where those words come from. The altos go first in the song, and the alto line, as they sing it, is actually a direct quote of 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, which says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, and the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." And that's basically the first verse of the song. The basses come in next, as you know, and we're kind of simple-minded, and so our part is real easy. It's just a repetition of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, talking about love, which Paul says bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The tenors have got my favorite part, but I've never been able to sing it. But actually, theirs is even simpler than the bass, because all the tenors do is repeat that wonderful phrase from 1 John chapter 4. It's actually in verse 8 and also verse 16. God is love. God is love. And then, of course, lastly, the sopranos come in, and their verse is actually a quotation of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, Mark 12 and verse 30. He says the same thing in Matthew chapter 22, "But thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." So with that information to go on, what then are the greatest commands, as the song title suggests and as is supposed to be the title of my lesson tonight? Well, obviously, the greatest commands are the commands that have to do with love, primarily love God and love one another. That's what the song is really all about. In fact, here's how Jesus summed it up in that other passage, Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, when one of the Pharisees came to him and asked him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Our text for tonight's study, if you'd like to turn there, is Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. And I'll have the scripture on the screen if you don't happen to have your Bible. This is a very interesting occasion that took place during the ministry of Jesus, and in this story that we're going to read here in just a minute, I think we find four characters, or at least groups of characters, who illustrate for us perfectly some of the most important lessons that we could ever learn about the greatest commands, about love. So if you're there in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, let's get started. It says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath." You know, synagogues were places of worship. in that day. There were no synagogues in the Old Testament, but actually when the people of God came back out of the Babylonian captivity, that was one of the practices that they had developed there, and we find the synagogues, little places of worship in communities and small towns where God's people gathered on a regular basis under, of course, the Mosaic law for the purpose of worshiping God. And it was in one of those synagogues that Jesus was teaching on the Sabbath day. And Luke goes on and says, there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. Can you imagine walking around bent double? There are a few things that I think I could do on a regular basis if I were bent double, but the list of things that I couldn't do would be a whole lot longer than the things that I could do. Can you imagine being bent double? I've known some folks through the years who, having suffered from various ailments of the back and spinal area, were bent over. In fact, we've got some here now at Redland Road, and I won't call anybody's names, but we do have some who are no longer with us, and I'm sure Brother Jonah Pemberton wouldn't mind me mentioning his name. He's in heaven now, and Brother Jonah, as the years went by, became more and more bent over so that he had to look up like this just to talk to you. And I don't recall ever meeting a fellow who appeared to love the Lord any more than Brother Jonah did, and who was any more serious about being at worship assembly than Brother Jonah was. And I often thought about him as I complained about my various ailments and problems and difficulties. And I would, of course, become ashamed of the fact that I wasn't bent double. Luke says when Jesus saw this woman, he called her over and he said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. Jesus called her over. Now, there were several occasions in the ministry of Jesus when people approached him and asked him. In fact, most often folks came to Jesus asking to be healed or asking for this or that. But it says, Luke's very specific here. He says, Jesus saw her and called her over. The sight of this woman kindled the Lord's concern, and he healed her. Just like that. But the synagogue official, the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, listen to this, "There are 6 days in which work shall be done, so come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Normally, usually 10 men, sometimes less, but normally 10 men would form what was called the council of the synagogue, and they were responsible for the operation of the synagogue and everything that had to do with it. And there was one man who was the chief of those 10, and he was referred to as the ruler of the synagogue. And it's that fella who's objecting to the fact that Jesus has healed this woman because he believes that healing should not be done on the Sabbath day. He believes that that constitutes work. But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him out to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? I don't mind telling you that Jesus didn't handle that like I would have. I would have said something like, "Work? You call that work? That's not work. Zap! You're a bug. Somebody stomp him." You know, that's kind of the way I would have handled it. But the Lord had a better way. And as he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. Looks kind of like that crowd was tired of that synagogue ruler and his self-important attitude, huh? Four things, four illustrations in this story that remind us of the greatest commands. Number one is this bent and crippled woman illustrates for us the love that we are to have for God. You know, I don't think she just showed up coincidentally on this particular Sabbath day. When I read this story, I get the impression that she was there because that's where she was on a Sabbath day. That was her place. That was what she wanted to do. She believed in worshiping God. She loved God. And she was there no matter what her condition was. Can you imagine bent double for 18 years and still being at the worship assembly? You know, sometimes we go through all manner of excuses for why we don't need to go today. For 18 years, she was bent double. And she was there on that Sabbath. What if she had missed that day? You ever thought about that? What if she'd decided not to go that day? She wouldn't have been healed. The point is, you never know what you're missing when you're not attending the worship of the Lord's church. In the second place, Jesus illustrates the kind of love that we are to have for one another. At least 13 times in the gospel accounts, the word compassion is used to either describe Jesus or was spoken by Jesus. Jesus set the standard for the kind of compassionate love that we are to have for one another. And he said there in John 13, verses 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have this love for one another." This will take you back farther than most of the folks here can remember, though I can remember it well, and it was only just a little while back, 1988. Dan Jensen, speed skater, one of the brightest promising stars of the 1988 Winter Olympics, favored to win the 500 meter and the 1000 meter speed skating events. We were counting on this guy for a couple of gold medals for the U.S. And on the morning of the 500 meter event, he got word that his sister, who had been struggling with leukemia, had finally died. And some told him that he shouldn't race. But he was determined to compete in honor of his sister. He fell in the first turn. couple of days later was the 1,000-meter event. He fell again in the first turn and came home without any gold, silver, or bronze. A couple of days later, after getting home, he got a letter in the mail from a guy named Mark Arrowwood, a 30-year-old disabled man from Pennsylvania. The letter said, "Dear Dan, I watched you on TV. I'm sorry you fell 2 times. I'm in Special Olympics. I won a gold medal at the Pennsylvania State Summer Olympics right after my dad died 7 years ago. I want to share one of my gold medals with you because I don't like to see you not get one. Try again in 4 more years." And in the envelope with that letter was a Special Olympics gold medal. Now, most of us probably don't have any gold medals to be sharing with other folks. But how many of us go out of our way to share or even to show the love that Jesus says we are supposed to have? The love that Jesus says causes people to realize that we are His disciples. In this story, Jesus illustrates that love that we are to have for one another. Now, in the third place, there is the old ruler of the synagogue. And he illustrates for us love for self, love for power, for prestige, recognition. Can you imagine the attitude of this man? "If you want to be healed, you come on some day other than the Sabbath." Come on now. God's law for the Jews, given through Moses, did forbid working on the Sabbath, for sure. You couldn't dig ditches, you couldn't plow your field, couldn't even walk farther than a certain distance that was specified. But this man illustrates the legalistic approach that a lot of folks in his day, especially the Jewish rulers, had taken toward God's law. In fact, they had turned it into their own law. And when men start making their own laws and substituting them for God's laws, we end up with a crazy mixed up world so far as religion is concerned. And this fellow illustrates where we end up if we start making our own laws. So let's stick with God's law as Jesus did. And then there was the people, the crowd. They rejoiced. They were excited. They were happy. Those who opposed Jesus were humiliated. They were embarrassed. And the crowd loved it. And the crowd illustrates for us the love that we need to have for God's law. Maybe they were tired of this old ruler and his rules, and they were glad to see the Savior. That's where we need to be. Now, as we close, let's go back to that woman for just a minute. Because she was there on the Sabbath day at the synagogue, she met Jesus. Jesus set her free. He set her free from the bondage of her illness. Jesus still sets us free today. He sets us free from sin when we love God's law and obey God's law. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sins. If you're not a child of God this evening, what's keeping you from obeying the gospel? You believe in Jesus as God's Son, willing to repent and turn away from your sins, willing to let Jesus be the Lord and Master of your life and own up to that in front of this group of witnesses, willing to be baptized in order to have your sins washed away. That's what it takes to be set free. Perhaps you've already done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God. Come back before it's too late. If you need to respond to the Master's invitation in any way, we invite you to do so as we stand together and sing this song.